Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrance, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
And let's be honest about this. Even though we may not see it, everybody in the world is either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or going into a storm. That is part of living on a sin-cursed earth, is that there are troubles, and there are trials, and there's hardship.
In this edition of Triumphal Feast, we conclude the message, Abraham Goes South. There is a common misunderstanding about being all in for the Lord. Some people think that means you never make a mistake. Abraham's case shows that this is simply not true. The key to remember is being all in means you put Christ at the center of your life. And when you find yourself going south, turn around and head back to the Savior.
Abram made some really, really bad choices. Let's pick up the account in verses 14 and 15 now. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair. Abram was right. They found her beautiful. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Okay, that means he intended to have her as a wife or as something else. But he was taking possession of her. So Abram's plan was, Sarai, when we get there, if they ask who you are, tell them you're my sister, because they're going to find you beautiful and they're going to kill me if they find out you're my wife. He's afraid. They see her. She's beautiful. Obviously, she told the lie. Look at what we do to people around us, to our loved ones. Abram, because he stopped trusting the Lord for a little while, encouraged his wife to sin. He encouraged, make sure you understand this. He encouraged his wife to commit adultery. Didn't he? Abraham, this is not good. I mean, Moses' bad start, nothing like this. Brethren, when we go all in for the Lord, sometimes bad things are going to happen. Sometimes we're just going to do something stupid. And that's what Abram's doing here. Being all in for the Lord doesn't mean you're never going to sin again. But wow. Look at the extent of what Abram did here. And let's look at the results of Abram's sin. And he, Pharaoh, entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. Abram lied and got rich. Abram had left everything in the Ur of Chaldees except what he could travel with. And now he has a lot of stuff. Beware of stuff. Right now, from Abram's perspective, well, I did this, and look at everything that I've gotten. What a wondrous blessing. Obviously, my sin wasn't that bad because I got all of this material wealth out of it. See how we can be easily fooled by the eye? How we can be easily fooled by what the world says is wealth and what the world says is good? How many of you, by showing of hands, think Abram was doing all right at this time? Good, no hands went up. But from his perspective, man, I've got it made. I didn't get killed. And I have all of this stuff. You know, that's the trappings of serving mammon. You know, we said you can't serve, Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You either love one or hate the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Mammon is the love of money. And here's what the god mammon will do for you. The god mammon will bless you with stuff and make it look like you're being blessed of God. But you're just getting stuff, not knowing that you're destroying your own life. You're destroying the lives of your loved ones, and you could be destroying a lot more people's lives. Let's look what happens now. 17. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Okay. Did God approve of what Abram did? No. The Lord said this is sin, and Pharaoh's sinning. But who started all of it? Abram. Abram's the cause of all of this mess, to the point that this nation of Egypt is going to be dying of a plague because of Abram's sin. You know, there was a game show on a few years ago. Remember, had a redheaded lady wore those glasses that were redder, and the weakest link was the name of that. It was a really goofy game show. But there was one line in it that when somebody would mess up, she said, "You are the weakest link," and they got kicked off the show. Are you the weakest link in your family? Are you the weakest link in this church? Are you the weakest link at school or on your job? Are you the weakest link in America? You know what? It would be a good effort for us to make sure we're not. Then we're probably headed down that straight and narrow path. But Abram just, oh, that's just a little thing. I want to preserve my life. And you know, that God said that he's going to make a great nation of me. So I got to make sure my life gets preserved. Who caused all of this? Who was the weakest link? Abram. Made it a disaster for himself. Actually, you know what? Abram didn't get hurt that bad. If you look at it. No, so people think, well, obviously if you sin, you're going to have a Job-like experience. That's all going to be on you. Not necessarily. Sometimes the chastisement of God comes on the consequences that happen because of your sin. Sarai suffered. Pharaoh and all his people are suffering. Let's pick it up in verse 18 now. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." Now there may be some evidence right here that Sarah didn't actually have to say anything. She just didn't contradict Abram. Abram told them that she was his sister. Okay? She didn't contradict it, though. We don't know if she actually said, "I'm his sister," or just stayed silent. Okay? Sisters, if your husband's doing something stupid, don't stay silent. Say, "Hey, honey. Hey, dummy. Don't do this." Think. We're men. Okay? We do stupid things sometimes. Abram was doing something stupid. Sarah didn't speak up. "Why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." He said, "Here, go. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife. And then look at this last phrase. If you underline anything in your Bible, underline this line right here. "And all that he had." Abram didn't have anything when he got down there. Pharaoh gave him a lot of stuff. And when he left, all of that stuff went with him. Here's why I want you to underline that. If Pharaoh was that nice to Abram, even though Abram had done all of this to him, was Abram really ever in any danger? He could have sent him away, saved his life, but kept all the things that he gave him. But look at what Pharaoh does. He sends him away with all of the gifts that he gave him. Brethren, I don't think Abram's life was ever in danger. He created the danger in his own mind. Because look how Pharaoh acted. He's concerned about the plague. But to solve that problem, all he had to do was send away Sarah and Abraham. But he does more than that. He sends him away with all of those riches as well. Abraham, by forgetting the promise of God, created a danger in his own mind. So Bryce, it sounds like you're saying he's crazy. Yep. That is the biblical definition of crazy. When you fear something that is not there. Now, how did he get there? How did he get to being crazy? He stopped remembering the fellowship that he had with God, and he forgot for a time the promises of God and began to think about himself, and it made him lose his mind. And he goes south. Endangers everybody when there wasn't even a danger there. He created the danger. He created the danger of God judging him for lying. He created the danger of God judging him for forgetting his promises. He created the danger of putting himself before the Lord. He created the danger of causing his wife to lie and to put her in the face of adultery. He created dangers. They didn't come upon him by accident. Now, so far, let me ask you a question. We know that we've seen there probably wasn't really any danger. And if there was, look at the mercies of God. But what would you have done to Abram at this time? Okay, this is about the fourth or fifth time we would have smushed him, right? They just wiped him off the earth. Look at the mercies of God, brethren. As you are going all in for the Lord, there are going to be times that you're going to make a mistake. But don't forget the mercies of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. We're not doing this in order to gain the favor of God, in order to get to heaven. That is our predetermined, predestinated destination. We are doing this out of thankful obedience for what God has done for us. Look at the mercies that God had on Abraham. We would have smushed him four or five times. How many times in your life do you think the Lord should have just snuffed you out? I can name a couple times this week in my own life. I went south. Started thinking about myself rather than thinking about putting the Lord first in my life. Okay, it was not Abram's good works or his good intentions that gained him the love of God. It was grace, and grace alone. And it is grace that keeps us in the love of God, not our obedience. Now, our obedience keeps us in fellowship with God here on earth. Abraham was not in fellowship with God here for a little while, was he? Because he had all of these riches. He thought he was doing fine up until Pharaoh came to him. So Brother Bryce doesn't say he thought he was doing fine. It doesn't say the opposite of that. He got this stuff, and it doesn't say he worried. Okay? When a man gets stuff, when you got that new lawnmower, when you got that new weed eater, were you unhappy? No. Got a new toy. He got lots of new toys. I mean, he got like an unlimited gift card to Home Depot here. He was not in fellowship with God, even though he had a lot of material things coming to him. Abraham goes south. You know, storms are going to happen. There are storms in our lives. You might be in one right now. It might be a storm of your health. It's just not what you want it to be. You might be in a storm right now where your boss really isn't what you want him to be. You might be in a storm right now that it is for time, that you just feel so rushed. You might be in a storm like Jonah. You're sleeping in the belly of a ship, and you're about to end up in the belly of a whale. Because you think, oh, everything's just fine. I'm doing okay. No, here's the truth of the matter. What we're going to find, if the Lord blesses us to study the lives of these patriarchs and other children of God in the Bible, we're going to find that folks are either in a storm, or they're coming out of a storm, or they're about to go into a storm. That is life. So, Brother Bryce, that's not a Tony Robbins encouragement speech. No, it's not. I'm preaching what Jesus preached. You ever looked at, here's your homework assignment if you want. Find, and I'll find the scripture reference for you later. When Jesus first sends out the 70 disciples, you know, they've been following him. They've been seeing him perform these miracles and preach repentance. And he says, I'm sending you forth. He said, all right, let's go get some touchdowns. He said, I'm sending you forth as sheep among wolves. They're going to kill you. Your brother's going to give you over to the leaders. Your mom's going to forsake you. Your dad's going to turn you into the cops. They're going to hang you. They're going to behead you. That was Jesus' Newt Rodney speech as he sent the 70 disciples out. Jesus was preaching the truth to them. He said, if you're going in my service, the world is going to hate you. And let's be honest about this. Even though we may not see it, everybody in the world is either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or going into a storm. That is part of living on a sin-cursed earth, is that there are troubles and there are trials and there's hardship. That's the reason there are so many different religions, is people are trying to figure out how to get over this hardship. The problem is all of these other false religions tell you that you can overcome it now and that you can just have joy. You know, there are a few intelligent people in Hollywood. There's a couple of them that have finally left the Church of Scientology and seen what foolishness it was. There's still a lot of fools in it, though. This promise of getting everlasting riches here on earth and never having any problems, never having any health trouble. Brethren, that is not true, or else Jesus would have told the disciples, you're going to go out and it's going to be great. Remember when he sent the apostles out to preach? And he gave them the parable of the soils. Remember what the result of that was? 3 out of 4 times, you're going to fail. 3 out of 4 times, they're not going to listen. And it's not going to have any kind of harvest to reap from what you preached. And he said, no, by the way, that 1/4 of a time that it does, some of them are going to increase 100-fold. Some of them it's only going to be 10. You're only going to see a little bit. Jesus knows the nature of man. And he's telling us the truth, not to discourage us, but to let us know that these are the facts of life and to keep trusting him. Because just like Abraham, this is not our home. We only sojourn here for a little while. Our citizenship is in heaven. Paul calls it our conversation is in heaven. That's where we belong. Storms are going to happen. You know, there'll be times that even if you're remembering the promises of God, there'll be some things that cause fear. But Isaiah tells us this in Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, there's over 300, probably close to 400 references in the Bible of fear not or be not afraid. If there's that many of them, that tells me that God knows that sometimes we get afraid and we need to remember His promises. Turn with me over to 1 John chapter 4, and I got to really finish up quickly here. 1 John chapter 4. Starting verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. What is perfect love? We love Him because He first loved us. If you are afraid, remember that perfect love casteth out fear, and it doesn't begin with you. It begins with God. We love Him because He first loved us. That's where we start with fear. There's going to be times that you'll get tired. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Paul tells us in Galatians to be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap what we have sown. Brethren, there is not going to be a disappointment in all in. There is not a disappointment. We're going to disappoint ourselves when we make mistakes. But if you're trusting the Lord, He will not make you ashamed. There are going to be times that we don't know what to do. Turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 3. And you know, people were asking me, well, how do I get started? What does it look like to serve the Lord? It's going to be different in every situation. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. When you're not sure what to do, just trust the Lord. He may have you waiting to do something. Rest during that time. Don't worry. Rest. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. What did Abram do? I understand that they're going to kill me, so here's what I'm going to do. Didn't work out, did it? In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He, all right, hard shells, He shall direct thy path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, meaning when you've got to make a decision, ask. And this says He shall show you what to do. Well, He didn't tell me. Add one word to that and you're okay. Yet. And if He hadn't told you yet, don't do anything. Okay? Wait on the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. If you're making a decision, a major life decision about a job, and you don't know what to do yet, don't do anything. Wait, because He shall direct your path. There are going to be times that you feel alone. You know, Elijah said that. There's nobody left but me. I'm the only one that's serving the Lord. Lord came to him. It wasn't in the storm, wasn't in the earthquake, wasn't in the volcano. Elijah's hidden in a cave. Lord said, why are you here? What are you doing here, boy? I got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. We got something even more than that. You're not alone. If you're all in for the Lord, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Okay? Think about that. And you know what? Turn with me back over to 1 John chapter 2. I should have left us back there. Sometimes we're going to be afraid. Sometimes we're going to get tired. Sometimes we're not going to know what to do. Sometimes we're going to feel alone. And sometimes we're going to be Abraham and we're just going to do something stupid. But don't forget this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. He starts right there. Reminds them, don't sin. Don't do something stupid. But if you do, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. An advocate is somebody that speaks for you. Abram had an advocate with the Father. Abram wasn't pleading his case to God because, brethren, he had no case. He was self-justifying, and it didn't get any farther than the court of his own messed up mind. Brethren, when you sin, you have no case of your own, but you do have an advocate. The one that died for that sin that you just committed. Notice the next verse. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. John is telling us that God's people all over the world, Jesus Christ is, I circled that word in my Bible, is the propitiation. Not was up until we messed up. Not might be if we get back in the right path. He says if you sinned, you have an advocate who is the propitiation. Meaning that means he paid the price and his blood covers your sin. Did you know your heavenly Father sees you perfectly right now? He has a perfect vision of you. And in your eyes, you're perfect. God justified you when he chose you in his Son before the world began. And he sees that perfect life. The Son works with you. He is your advocate. And when we mess up, Jesus pleads to the Father saying, here's my blood. And covers that sin every single time. So, all right, let's continue in sin. Paul took care of that. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I don't think I need to go there. It doesn't matter what we have done, good or bad. There is an absolute salvation unto God by the death of Jesus Christ. It is his work and his alone. In Christ alone, I have hope. All in doesn't mean we're never going to sin again. It means when we realize we have sinned, we repent and return to our race. There is no third path. Okay, if we quit, if we say, I'm just going to chunk it all, we've chosen a path. And it's the path to destruction. We've chosen what Abraham did, and we could destroy the lives of everybody around us. Now let me encourage you in something. In a world full of those going along with the crowd and serving the world and sin, be the one that's transformed. Be different. As I said to you last week, be a rebel. Okay? A rebel is the one that doesn't go along with the crowd. Be a rebel in school. Be a rebel at work. If need be a rebel in your family. But it's a rebel with a cause, not without a cause. And I found this wonderful analogy, and I'll close out with this. In a world full of Cheerios, you know, they all look alike, be a Fruit Loop.
Victorious God, what can we pay for faith?
I hope this sermon has been a blessing to you. If it has, please consider sharing our podcast with friends on Google+, Facebook, email, Twitter, or however you can get the word out. We thank you. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you all.